Hi, and welcome to the latest episode of Patient Solved Podcast with me, Jamie Nolden. Today, I'm pleased to announce that we have Dr. P. King, who's from Running Punks. He's a cool guy, member of Running Punks, which is such a cool little setup. He's here to explain his story, what started him running, so on and so forth. So welcome, Pete. How are you today?
Hey, morning, Jamie. Thank you very much for inviting me along to your podcast. I'm all right. I'm live and kicking. I've done my run this morning, so I'm okay.
Yeah, I saw that. So what was the run today? That was like 20, was it like 22 miles or something daft like that?
It was something daft like that. Yeah. All the park runs got cancelled, and fortunately, in a way, I wasn't going to do my park run this morning. I had this run planned because I normally do my long runs on a Sunday, but I've got other things planned tomorrow, so it had to be today. So with park runs being cancelled, I feel quite happy that I didn't miss out.
Yeah, no, that's an achievement, especially in this weather. I mean, in Nottingham, it's terrible at the minute. It's absolutely torrential. I've not been able to run out because of the ice at the minute, because the roads have just been terrible. But I'm hoping now the rain started to kick in and the temperatures increased, I'm going to run tonight. So that I'm looking forward to that in a couple of hours, hopefully. So with your running journey, obviously, I try and get people on that have been inspired by running, if it's through the love of, you know, well, anything really. It can be mental health struggles, it can be changes in family, so on and so forth. So what inspired you to start running? Because you did a ultra marathon, haven't you? You've completed one. Now I've never known anyone to complete one that I know personally. So what inspired you to start running, and how did you imagine that would lead to your ultra marathon then, Pete?
I think it's a fair question. But it's sort of two separate things, Jamie, in a way, because when I decided to start running, I didn't actually have a goal except for would I enjoy it. So I can always remember it was Boxing Day 2019, and just before all the COVID and everything. And I just thought, I need to do something more with my time, because the children have grown up and moved on. They've got their lives and everything. So I got my life back. Not that I begrudged having my life taken away. Don't get me wrong. I love my children. But when you've got that time back again, and I thought, I spent a year cutting down all the rubbish food. So I started a sort of health aspect because I realized that I needed to do something. And then I just say, I was Boxing Day, I was sat on my sofa and I just thought, shall I have a go at running? I dabbled a little bit in my sort of 20s, but nothing serious, and then nothing like, you know, with the equipment and the footwear that we have today. And I thought, right, okay, I live quite rural, so I've got some nice woods, very quiet roads. So I decided to buy a pair of running shoes off Groupon for £10. And when they arrived, I thought, well, I might as well have just tied two bricks to my feet from the back garden. You know, they weren't really, they weren't, you know, when you get into running, you realize that you need to have decent footwear. Anyhow, and I could just remember that I did this sort of 20 minutes in the woods. Most of it was walking, but a bit of running. And I just thought, yeah, I think I can do this. So I kept plugging away. And then I set myself a goal of actually doing the 5K Run for Life local. But then COVID came and obviously everything was stopped. But living rural, I kept the running and I just kept building up. And I didn't set myself a target except for this 5K. And then as you get into running, you know this yourself, you start to add the distance as your legs and everything else gets accustomed to doing this extra movement, extra energy and everything else.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you do.
And suddenly I realized that I was actually running locally more than 5K. So when it came to doing the Run for Life, I eventually did it in 2000, I think it must have been 2021. And I did that, but then I entered the Tembe 10K, which is part of their long course weekend. And that I think that was when I suddenly realized I've got into running, because I did it and I finished and I got home and the endorphins just kicked in. And you're about to do your first 10K, I believe. And I bet your bottom dollar that when you finish it, you'll enjoy it, that you're going to enter another race that evening, because that's what I did.
Well, there's a bit of a change with that. So they've cancelled the 10K. It was supposed to be this Sunday. I should have been
Oh,
running it a race today. So me and Andre, who's also on Instagram, who I've met through running on Threads, both were going to do it together. He's because I said to him I wanted a running muddy, and he went, "I'll be your running mudder. I'll come down to Nottingham from Birmingham, and I'll run your first race with you," which was so nice of him. I mean, that's what I love about this community. And I messaged him and said they've cancelled it. So I took the lead on this conversation and went, sod it, let's do the half marathon in March. So now I'm running a half marathon in March, the same course, but I'm going for the half marathon. So I start training Monday for that, which is every cloud has a silver lining, don't it?
it does, but
So.
I'm pretty sure that if you'd done the 10K, you would have entered that half marathon anyway.
Yeah, that's it. That's the aim. I've got a few 10Ks planned in anyway. I've got one in December. But with, so do you know when you started this running journey, was you overweight then? Was you overweight and just, very sluggish and stuff? Or did it, was you just a fit person in general?
No, I mean, going back a year before, I was definitely overweight, because I took my youngest son at the time was playing for a football team, and I took the team to a five-a-side competition because their manager had left and they wanted to do it. And someone put a photo on Facebook of the team and me, and that was the moment where I just thought, I need to sort something out here. And that's where I started cutting out all the rubbish from my food. So I stopped snacking, stopped eating crisps, chocolates, and everything else. So I got my weight down, but since running, it was more about doing something in the time as opposed to anything else, because I had time to myself. And I go to gigs, but you don't go to gigs every day, whereas you can run every day, or most days. And so it's actually since getting into the running, I realized that actually this is very good, not just for my physical health, it's actually very good for my mental health, because it gives me that time and space, and what we sort of sometimes term that head space, to work things through, whether it's work, social, family, or just life in general. And I think this has been sort of one of the positive outcomes of taking on this running, because I've never really had that space or time to have this sort of head space like I'm sort of having now.
Yeah, because you have children. Children take a massive part of your life. I'm the same at the minute. So I've got five children. So it was only really, with the death of my dad, I was in quite a big hole. And I just thought, my wife one day just said, "Go running, try it. You might like it." I hated it. I absolutely hated it. The first mile I ran, I came back and I was like, "There is no way in the world I'm doing this again." And it sort of stemmed from that, but with the children, my children have got a bit older. So I've got an 18-year-old and I've got a 16-year, sorry, yeah, 16-year-old, a 14 and 11. So they sort of started to take care of themselves a little bit more, which is good. So it gives me that freedom. And I love that space. I don't have as much as I would like because of the hours I work, but I totally understand where you're coming from with that headspace. It's great.
And I think it's important, because we need to reflect, and having that, whether you listen to music and run or whether you don't, you can still have that reflective time, the reflective space. And if you're running on your own as well, you're not going to get interrupted, which I think is what you often don't get, particularly if you work in a busy place in a busy office or something like that, or like yourself, you know, if you've got a large family, there's always going to be someone around, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think some of your best ideas come from running, I think. You know, I've tried it. I would run a lot with music because I'm really into my music, which I know you are. It's a big part of your life. We'll get onto that, definitely. But I do like the odd run with nothing. You know, even sometimes I've been finding now, I did a run the other night without my chorus on. So I didn't track the run at all. I literally took every device off, no phone, nothing, and I just ran. And, you know, it was a really enjoyable run, not knowing exactly how far I'd actually ran. I didn't post it on Strava, nothing. And that really, really opened my mind a bit more. You know, it made me really think about how I was feeling and, you know, what I'd got planned for the week. And it really helped me prepare for the weekend, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, often, you know, I won't respond to an email until I've had a run because I know that I have to get that right. And actually, often I can run it through my head. So I know that it's going to be the correct response as opposed to a reaction.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it gives you that mental clarity, I think, running. So how did your approach to running evolve from the early days to preparing for this ultramarathon? Because I'm really intrigued by this. I've never had anyone on here with this ultramarathon, and it scares the life out of me, that word.
But as I said, it was never anything I aimed to do. I did this 10K in Tenby, signed up for a couple of other 10Ks. And then I was sort of we're talking about music. I was at a Sleaford Mods gig in the tram shed in Cardiff, and I bumped into a work colleague,
you know,
and he was.
Do you know those guys? Just quickly, those guys there. I used to work with the singer of Sleaford Mods.
Oh, did you, Jason?
In Nottingham. Yeah, yeah. Right. I used to work in Paul Smith with him a long, long time ago. And what a character he was. Yeah. And I used to work in the Bridal Smith Gate. Paul Smith, that's where he originally was working at the time. He'd probably hate me telling him this, but I used to work with him before he was there.
We'll have to tag him in on this then when you broadcast it. And, The guy I'm from work, and so he had a colleague who was talking to this other guy, and my colleague said to me, he said, "Oh, you're a runner, aren't you?" I said, "Well, I've just got into it," and he says, "Well, you know that guy there, don't you, who my mate's talking to?" I said, "No." He goes, "Oh, he's the guy who set up the Running Punks," and it turned out to be Jimmy Watkins, and so I went back home after the gig and I looked up Running Pugs, which was then on the Twitter, and I thought, "Oh, I quite like the look of this." So I started following them, and then I was had this other 10K locally where I lived booked in, and it was the same time as the Llanelli Half Marathon. So this would have been 2021 again, and I saw all these posts on Twitter of all these running punks saying, "Oh, we're going to meet and we're going to do this." And I just thought, I've paid for this 10K. I've got to do this 10K. It's one of these when you brought up on the council estate, money is tight. So that lives with you.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I know your feeling.
So you don't want to buy something, pay for something and not use it. And so, I did this 10K and then I saw these running punks and I saw the photos on Twitter afterwards and I thought, this looks really good. And that was what actually, I think, sparked me to do a half marathon or start to then run and increase my distances. So I did my first half marathon locally, but then I eventually signed up for one. And it's always one of these things, do it. If you enjoy it, you'll do it again. If you don't, then go back down to the distance you've done before. So I did the half I did the half marathon. I enjoyed it, so I booked in a few more, and then I got to meet a lot of the running punks through Twitter, through actually running events, but also going to gigs. It was the Bob Villain gig at Club of Five Bach in Cardiff, where I met the doc eventually, Ashley Morgan, and we've become very good friends and research colleagues. So, all this new world was opening up, but systematically, what was happening was I was increasing my distances. And then I think looking back, there's a really lovely event in Mountain Ash in Wales. And it's called the Nos Galan, and it's on New Year's Eve, and it's a 5K, and there's an elite race and then a fun race, and I'm going to do it again this year, and I've been the third year. But when I first did it, I also had a 10K that was rearranged down in Westonbirt, and I was meeting some running punks from Bristol to do that, and I just thought, I can't do a 10K in the morning on New Year's Eve and then a 5K in the evening. Going back down to this, well, you've paid for it, Pete. You're going to have to bloody do it. So I did it. And then the next day was Park Run, because Park Run always runs on Christmas Day and New Year's Day. So I sort of did this 10K in the morning down in Westonbirt. Then I did this, I drove and to Mountain Ash and did this 5K. And then I drove back home. And then in the morning, I did this other 5K. And it's only when I look back that I think that there's something that I can build up and do these distances, because the time frame between the three races was quite short. So basically, all done in 24 hours. I still didn't have any vision of doing a marathon or anything else at this stage, Jamie. It's just that as I got to know running punks and seeing them, I find actually they have been the inspiration in me increasing my distances and going for things that I never thought I would go for. So up until this year, I'd never run a marathon. I've run half marathons. I think I did about 25 half marathons last year. So I knew that I knew, the distance I enjoyed doing. So when I signed up for my first marathon, which was again down in Llanelli, it was the Great All Wales Marathon. That was, I think, March of this year. That was the first one I did. But again, it was the same sort of thing. Do it. If you don't like it, just stick with the halves. But I enjoyed it. There was something about the marathon that I can always remember. I got to 25 miles, and I thought, I think I'm going to do this. And you suddenly, you do well up a little bit. Or I did, and I try and keep hold of my emotions, but I just thought, no, keep focused and everything else. But there was definitely something that triggered at 25 miles that I thought, yes, yeah, I like this. So I then.
Yeah, it's weird because just to touch on that, I had exactly the same with that. So I know it's not the distance you're talking about, but I did a 5K for Park Run when they were sponsored by Macmillan. And my dad, why obviously he had bowel cancer, he always wanted me to raise money for Macmillan. He was like, when I'm gone, do some charity for him. And I've done a lot. I've climbed Snowdon for them, so on and so forth. And I remember finishing that 5K, and I just cried. I literally cried. It was just that thought of, was he there with me when I did it? And it was just that sense of achievement of doing it. And I did. I welled up and I broke down, and people were like, oh my God, is he okay? And that was just, I had to explain it. And they were so supportive. It was so nice. And I see that. I know why you feel that, definitely.
No, absolutely. There's something emotive about, doing something that you didn't anticipate you was going to do. So, we're going back to, sitting on the sofa Boxing Day 2019, just over 4 years later, running the first marathon. It wasn't in the plan, and I think this is part and parcel of why I don't read running blogs. I don't read running books. I don't go onto websites to read about running. I just want to do it. What I do is I ask people who are running, or I see people who are running, and that's where I get my sort of tips, my inspiration, everything else, because I think it's got to be something that I want to do. I don't have a training plan. I've worked out, you know, since doing marathons that I've got to start eating whilst running. But, you know, I get tips from people. I mean, the run I did today, I changed my running food supply a little bit, just for a conversation I had with another running punk. And then it was brilliant, because something I never thought of, but actually it was something quite important in relation to fueling. And so, you know, going back to your question, I'd done, I think it was two marathons. I did the Tembi one. So I did the 10K, then the year later I did the half, and then this year I did the marathon. And so I sort of try and have some events, because I like, because I've got to meet quite a few people at events, both running punks and non-running punks and park runners and things. And then I saw this this ultra, which was a loop around Reading, and it was 31.4 miles. And I just thought, do I want to do this? I mean, people were sort of saying to me, oh, you're getting into ultras. And I said, no, it's not for me. It really isn't for me. And then I just thought, I might as well do it. I've got to keep that philosophy a little bit of, you've got to try it, and if you don't like it, go back to a marathon. And I entered it, and what I enjoyed about it, Jamie, is that it's a completely different mindset about running. And if, because I'd never done an ultra before, I look back and I think about the things I should have done that I didn't do. Because I found it quite tough at about 25 miles, and I ended up walking 3 miles. And I rarely walk when I run. I tend to be one of these that I like to get into a rhythm and then everything else. But even though there are some sort of particularly trails that you have to spare your energy and walk. But this one, it was about 25, 26 miles. And I thought, right, I'm only going to walk the last 5 miles, as long as I get to the end. But because I was walking and eating a bit more and drinking, I suddenly got my energy back, and after 3 miles I was running again. And so it sort of taught me that you've got to learn and be a bit more savvy. And again, this is where I've got some really good running punk friends who are I would say, you know, really clued up on ultras. They're you know, they really know what they're doing, and that's who I can go to for advice. And so I look back and I thought, yeah, I did quite enjoy that one, so I have signed up for another ultra. So hence part of why I did the long distance today is because it's about keeping miles in the legs, because my next one's going to be in February.
Right. And that's the thing with you don't realize, like I've only just started to realize with speaking to a girl that I've met through running, which is run coach Nat. She's an actual coach for running, and she was saying that really for anything over an hour you need to be eating if you're running, especially obviously with your ultras or your marathons, you need some sort of, you know, food, because that then just boosts you to give you that energy to go further. I find that now when I run. So if I try a morning run, I hate it. I can't stand it. Like I don't enjoy the run. I don't feel like I've got enough energy, but I seem to, if I fuel throughout the day, which is what I do, and I eat healthy, I have a great run in the evening. I really enjoy the run. And I think that's a massive part of it. And I think you'll find that fueling the body throughout will progress you further and further.
I mean, interestingly, I'm the other way around. I prefer morning runs. And if I do a 5 or 10K, I'll just have a cup of coffee. anything more than that, I'll just have something like a banana or something. But if I'm doing a proper sort of half marathon, everything else, I will fuel every mile, and I will take a drink every mile. And again, this is something that I've developed and chatted about and everything else with people. So for example, I mean, the 22 I did today, I had a mixture of couple of energy gels, a protein bar, two energy gels, a protein bar. I now have a, I take for this distance, I had sort of four chewable electrolytes. I had some chewable energy tablets as well. And this is where my latest tip from a friend came in. I had a Marmite sandwich cut into four squares, and so I alternate every mile. I'll have something a bit different, and it worked. And what was actually nice about the Marmite, it sounds like, is the fact that everything I used to have was sweet, and sometimes I used to feel quite sickly, particularly the half marathon distances. Having something savory, which I never thought of before, was brilliant because it just gave that alternate taste to my mouth, and I didn't have any sort of nausea of too many sickly things that I often have, because even the electrolyte tablets tend to be sort of quite sweet. And the reason I've started doing the electrolytes as well, and again, this was something through the a running punk told me. I did a half in Solihull, and it was the hottest day, or one of the hottest days in August. And I got to the end, and I've been hydrating all the way through. I've been doing my mile thing, but I didn't have electrolytes then. And I got to the end, and I can remember leaning against the wall, and the next moment I was on one knee, and I just momentarily just blanked out. And but the thing was, I knew I'd done it because I was on one knee, so it couldn't have been for more than a second, if that. So some people came up, gave me water and everything else. So I put this on one of my social medias, and someone got in touch with me, and they were the ones who told me about these chewable electrolytes, and they made such a difference, because you forget that you've got to replace all these minerals and everything else. So it's not just the food and the energy and everything else, it's all those little bits. And this is what I like about the social media, and particularly the running punks, is that you get these tips because you get these tips from other people's experience of running, as opposed to just, I'm too lazy to read on the internet, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so I want to focus on this a little bit now, because you've mentioned running punks a lot. I've started following them, and I'd love some of the stuff. I mean, even the clothing. I mean, I'm like very, very tempted at the minute. But I mean, my punk knowledge, is, I don't really listen to it, but there's one that I did listen to. That was it Sid Vicious, was it his little group? That there was a bit of that I used to listen to. That's about it. But that's as far as my knowledge goes. So aside from running, so you said you've rekindled this love for gigs. And how does this music now fit into your life? And does it influence your running? Does it completely change you now?
Just track back to the aspect of running punks is that it's not actually about punk music per se. You don't have to be into, you can be into any type of music. The punk aspect is more about the sort of philosophy and attitude, and that can cut across any genre and everything else. So it's not running punks as in running punk rockers. It's running punk as in punk attitude. So you'll get people who will listen to thrash metal, classical. It's about your
It's that
own.
attitude,
Yeah, that's what it's about. And
like don't give a
Or the fact that the I mentioned my my colleague, the doc, okay, and we both work for different universities, and I got in touch with the doc, and I said, "There's something really good about this running punks. We need to do a study on it." And I know this is always this thing about, don't chip away at the roots because you lose the tree. But then, when you're researchers, you want to find out what's in the roots. So we actually did a study. We interviewed 44 running punks, and we've just had the paper accepted by a journal, and probably I think one of the most, and this is the doc's doing, one of the most wonderful, wonderfully named journal, and it's the Journal of Punk and Post-Punk. You can get academic journals in anything. I've never heard of this one before. The doc did. We put the paper it to them. They liked it. They said they would publish it. So it should be going through the process now. But going back to what we say is that music's not always the most important part about being a running punk. It's an individual thing. So I don't listen to music when I run, various reasons. But I love gigs. I've always loved gigs. I moved to London when I was 17 so that I can just go and watch bands, this goes back down to when the children start growing up. Before I started running, I started going out to gigs again. And what's nice about the running punks is that I can often go to a gig and bump into a running punk at a gig, and it's actually the music that is the link there as opposed to the running. Or alternatively, I can go to sometimes a running event, and you talked about the logo and the shirts and everything else. Whenever I see someone wearing a running punks, the first thing I do is I go up to them, say hello, and always ask. I always ask, and I always give them a hug, because there's something about mutual appreciation, respect. I don't know what it is, but there's a strong identity that's been created through the logo, through the clothing and everything else. So that's, made that sort of running punk quite unique in that way. And that is a bit like what you were saying, that attracted a lot of people. The actual clothing was what got them into the running punks. For others, it was reading something on social media. Or Jimmy, he hasn't done many recently, but he used to do running reviews. So he would video record him running, listening to an album, and he'll do a review of the album. He did one of the album The Darkness, and the guy, I can't remember the lead singer's name, he did a YouTube video of Jimmy doing a running review, so a lot of people got, a lot of people have got into running punks through Jimmy's running. So there's been many sort of doorways that people have got into, but there's something that is around, the mutual respect, the support, and but I think one of the key things is that nobody puts anybody down. Nobody says, "That's a shit run. Why did you do that?" That's not what it's about. It doesn't matter if you run a centimeter or if you run an ultra. It's a case of you doing what you want to do. And that goes back down to the punk ethos, the sort of autonomy and things like that.
I think as well, you've opened my eyes to running punks, because I was very afraid to start. Sort of, I didn't want to purchase any items. I'll be honest with you, because I just thought, oh no, what if they start saying, like, what sort of music are you into? And I'm like, yeah, I'm not into like punk music. And then they'd be like, well, why is this guy wearing these t-shirts? So I think you've really opened the door for a lot of people there, because now I'm going to happily buy a top and wear it with pride, because it's not. It to me, when it first did come across, and this is something they, that, I don't know if they've done it by accident or not, but it does look like it is based around, punk rock. I think it's very, the badge is very rocky, isn't it? And punky with the safety pins, so on and so forth. But I think if people start listening to this now and they realize it, that they're probably going to get more followers, because people are going to be like, well, actually, it doesn't matter if I like punk. It's more of that ethos of being a punk, which is, not caring and just going against the anarchy, as they say. So yeah, it's great.
I mean, the other thing I would suggest is go and have a read on their website, because it explains the sort of the philosophy and how it came about and everything else, you know. So but I can understand what you're saying, because safety pins was sort of the iconic aspect of punk rock, you know, because people used to, you know, instead of putting earrings in their ears, they used to put safety pins in and things like this. So I totally get what you're saying, but actually it's bigger than that. And I think you get what you want out of it. And I think the one thing is, whether you're wearing a shirt or not, you can be a running punk. You don't have to have, you know, a running punk. It's just the fact that actually they are really good, not just design, but they're actually good quality as well. I feel quite comfortable when I run wearing them, because that, you know, they just, you know, nicely made and everything. I mean, I get no money for this, you know. I'm not promoting for commission, but the thing with it is that you don't have to have a running punk's top to be a running punk, but if you do get one, you do look super cool.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I've you know, again, I'm not asking for commission on this one, but I found another one called No Club Running Club. And their items are absolutely stunning. Like, they're just quirky, and they are very, like, you know, the running punks, but just a different style. But they're very bright, outlandish, some of the tops, and some of them are very, like, stealthy. They've got quite a lot of skulls and stuff, like, built into the tops, which are great. So I've started to get a few items of that, which I'm looking forward to wearing. But I think they're the two brands I'm definitely going to switch between, because I love both. And they are great. So if they are listening, we're giving you a big shout out. We'll have to tag them in this, so they can have a listen. So we obviously, I want to try and wrap things up a little bit, because we're coming to the end now. So do you have any advice for people looking to start running and taking on challenges, or a new challenge in later life? What advice would you give, Pete?
I wouldn't give any advice at all, Jamie. I think I suppose I've developed my own little sort of running philosophy. And I think this is where, you know, being part of the running punks, just going back to the other running group you're talking about, a lot of the running punks are part of that group as well. So is it, it's not an exclusive, it's a case of, I actually joined a club this year, a local one, and I love being part of the club, because I feel as though a lot of their thinking and running is very similar to being with the running punks, you know. So you know, it's not, they're not exclusive, these groups. Going back to your question, the things that I always sort of go with is one, I always let my legs do the thinking. So if I go out for a run, I generally, you know, I'm human, I like my times and everything else. However, I never go out aiming to try and beat a time, because I think that's where you start to sort of put too much pressure on yourself. So I'll go out for a run. Sometimes I can feel the legs are just, you know, they're loose, they're happy and everything else, and I might push it a bit more. But as soon as I feel a bit of resistance, then I'll stop. Other times, I just know the legs aren't going to go any further. So I just go at a slower pace. So I don't mind what my pace is and my time and everything else. It's more being able to sort of complete the distance. I think the other thing is, do what you're comfortable with what you want to do. And also, if you're somebody who does like a lot of structure, does like plans and things like that, then go for it. Whereas there are others, a bit like myself, where I don't have a running plan. I have an idea of the distance I'm going to do when I set out. And I do tend to stick with that now, because I've got a bit of a routine. But there might be times where I might go a little bit more because I just feel like going a bit more. Or I might just reduce it a little bit, and you're allowed to do that. You don't have to beat yourself up if you don't go out and meet the target that you wanted to set up to do.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great bit of advice. I like it. So if everyone wants to give Pete a follow, it's Dr. Pete Running Punk. So that's DR underscore P underscore running underscore punk, which is yeah, the name's in the title, isn't it? You've got the Running Punk in there, which is great. This episode's going to be on our website at paceyourselfpodcast.com. It's also going to be on our social media. It'll be tagged in there. So at paceyourselfpodcast.com, it's going to be on Spotify, Apple, and all the other streaming sites available. Yeah, give him a follow. We're going to give a shout out to Running Punks and No Club Running Club. So we'll try and tag them in as well, so they can give it a listen. But it's been an absolute pleasure, Pete. I'm going to try and see if I can get out there for a run with you, and turn up in my Running Punks top if I can. It work permitting, but I love the story. You're an inspiration. Keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, no, I appreciate you. I mean, to be honest with you, it's really nice to have a chat and talk about running for 40 minutes without seeing someone's eyes glaze over.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, great. All right, Pete. Well, I'll let you get off. We'll keep following your journey. Everyone, please give him a follow. And yeah, give us a follow too. So take care, Pete.
Hey, cheers, Jamie. Appreciate it.
Bye bye. Bye bye.